the Hagman and Hagman Report. HagmanReport.com. That's the place for all of the news and information analysis. That's HagmanReport.com. And of course, Hagman and Hagman.com. There you can find an array of platforms for which to listen to this program. Hagman and Hagman.com. That's our show website, HagmanReport.com, for show prep indeed. And of course, social networking at Hagman Report. That's Twitter and Hagman Report on Facebook as well. Until we're no longer, which, you know, it could be any time, right? The censorship of Christians, Christian thought, morality, the nuclear family, all of the values we hold dear are all under attack. Our guest is Dan Goodwin. Before we get back to our guest, let me ask you, have you done it? Have you gone to American Survival Wholesale? AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. That's the place to go for long-term storable food. The Thrive brand. They've got some hard-to-find items there. That's AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. And as a matter of fact, and I, you know what? I'm going to speak out of school because I don't think they want me to even mention this, but I got a call yesterday. It was from the owner saying, hey, I want to ship some food down to certain people in affected by flooding and by the hurricane. The reason I mentioned that, it shows you the Christian-owned, veteran-owned aspect of AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. They're not going to brag about that. We can say it, but they won't say it. I mean, these are the things that separate companies. Think about that, all right? Think about that. Just let that sink in. Here's a company that Christian-owned, doing Christian things. They've got a Bible outreach program and such. That's AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. That's why we buy our long-term storable food from AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, in addition to the fact that they've got non-GMO Thrive brand food at prices that rival and even are lower than the suppliers themselves. Secondly, oh, my goodness, thisgenerationseries.com. T.C. Joseph has done it. He wrote a thrilling series of novels. In fact, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families in a world where conspiracy theories and Bible prophecies collide. Now, as you are sitting in front of a fire this fall, perhaps in your den, maybe you've got the lights turned down, grab a hold of This Generation series of novels, thisgenerationseries.com. T.C. Joseph's novels move through recent history to the events that are just on our horizon, in fact, happening today. He's got a very witty style of writing, fascinating character development. It provides a great read, folks. Not only will you love these books, but these books can be used as a great tool, a learning tool, to give to friends, give to family, give to coworkers, and let them read the fictionalized account, but it draws people closer to what's really happening today. Gives them a great idea. Rave reviews by Kirkus Reviews. In fact, they state that readers of end time fiction will be hard pressed to find it done more intriguingly than these novels. And that's T.C. Joseph, of course. His books available on Amazon, This Generation series on Amazon.com, Book 1, Precipice, Book 2, Pentecost, and coming soon, Book 3, Penance. That's T.C. Joseph's novels, This Generation series of novels. Check them out on Amazon or go to thisgenerationseries.com.
Folks, we're talking with Daniel Goodwin, excuse me, the author of God's Final Jubilee.
What was that?
And his latest book, The Barley Harvest, God's Sign for the End Times. You know, I was sick a few weeks back, and I'm still dealing with a cough from that sickness. And it pops up every now and again. And that's what that was.
Healthmasters.com.
Yeah. Yeah, Ted's vitamins have, I think, eased the transition from being sick to feeling better. But again, we're talking with evangelist Dan Goodwin. Before the break, we were talking about the birther issue.
It's my favorite topic.
It is your favorite topic.
It is. And Dan Goodwin, I love this guy. I love what he's saying because we don't, you know, and thank you, Mr. Goodwin, for addressing this. I know that this wasn't scripted, but you know something? Joe just said, oh, you get him started, he just turned off his mic, and I think he's walking away. but you know, your candor on this and hitting this square, you know, right out. We don't even know who in the world we have in the White House, and I truly believe that. As an investigator, if I was to issue a investigative report on the occupant of the White House, you cannot tell me, no one can tell me that we know the bona fides of this guy. As a matter of fact, I have no evidence that he changed his name from Barry Satoru to Barack Hussein Obama II. I have none exists. There's no evidence that exists. So take it away. Continue with what you were saying, because it's fascinating.
And his Connecticut Social Security number, and nobody in his family ever lived up there.
Yeah.
And but I want to tell you, Brother Joe, during the break, I went to get coffee, and my wife said there's three black cars out there with men in suits in them. And one of them came up to the door, and I told him you guys was in Erie, Pennsylvania, and that they need to go up there and get you.
Give them our address, brother.
I'm just kidding, of course.
Now, today you are, but maybe not next time. See,
There's a whole trail of dead people from the Clintons. There's no doubt about that. And, I mean, it can't all be coincidence. I mean, there's a whole trail of them. In fact, in the last 2 months, there's another five or six of them that were getting ready to testify, including the young guy that was shot at 3 a.m. They claim
Seth
he's
Rich.
The one that was the head, yeah, right. They believe he's the one that was sending some emails to Assange over there. But who knows? It's crazy and getting crazier all the time out here. But anyway, of course, in my Jubilee book, I have that chapter, What in the World's Going On? And most people, that's the chapter that they say was their favorite, but I don't think it's the most important chapter, but it's certainly an interesting one. In there, I show where the last Pope resigned, all the funny, strange things that happened. For instance, 12 hours after he announces he's going to resign, at exactly 6 p.m., lightning strikes St. Peter's Basilica. It's all documented. I've got the news reports documented. I mean, it just can't all be coincidence. And the fact that the president, President Obama, went to Israel in 2013, a lot of folks don't know that. And he went on March 20th, which doesn't sound like anything to us, but on the Jewish calendar in 2013, it was an event called Palm Sunday. It's when Jesus rode down the hill on the donkey. And it's not called Palm Sunday in the Bible, but it's the name that we have given it. And very interesting. That's the day that Jesus presented himself to Israel as their Passover lamb. And that's the day that President Obama chose to go to Israel. And I give some evidence in there about the GPS coordinates of where his father was born. And it's the same coordinates for Bethlehem, except the decimal point is moved. I mean, just strange stuff. And the fact that this, our president, you know, has hidden all of his information. You know, there's not one girl who has come forward and said, yes, I had a date with Barry, in freshman year, or nobody's come forward and said, we sat together in the same class, or we studied together. I mean, it's like he didn't exist there. So I'm not a conspiracy person, but you know what? I want some hard facts here. I think if he's for real, there ought to be a trail that you could follow to find out who he is. I mean, there's not even a picture of their kids when they were little. There's nothing. There's no proof that shows that they ever had children. I mean, there's just a lot of strange things about them. But you know what? That's what I tell people. The Antichrist is an imitator of the Lord. And, you know, Satan has a trinity just like God has a trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You're going to have Satan. You're going to have the Antichrist who represents Jesus. And you're going to have the Holy Spirit represented by what we call the false prophet. A lot of folks don't understand that. They think there's the Antichrist and that's it. No, there's the Antichrist, who's one of the beasts, and then there's another beast. There's the beast that comes out of the sea, the beast from the land. Those are two different people. And Revelation 13. And one of them is the religious leader. One of them is the political leader who's going to be crowned in Revelation 6. He's what we call the Antichrist, a man of sin. But he doesn't rise alone. Religion, the religions of the world will push him up and make him what he is. And until the middle of the tribulation, when the Antichrist... Now tell me this doesn't sound like our guy right now. In the middle of the tribulation, the Antichrist will say, I don't need you anymore. This isn't about you, it's about me. And he throws her off his back and tramples upon her. That's the one world church. He don't need it after he arrives and gains the power. And now doesn't that sound like our guy?
Yeah. Yeah,
isn't everything always about him? Me, my. I did this. I'm going to do that.
yes. In criminal behavioral profiling, it matches. Yes, you're now, absolutely correct.
Have I got time to read you a few headlines out of a story?
You go right ahead there, brother.
This goes right along with what I just said about the Antichrist, the false prophet, who's the religious world leader. The religions of the world are going to come together. They already are. And I'll shock everybody. We're already a one world. We still got some borders, but we're technically already a one world order. Run by, and you'll get emails on this, and I'll get emails on this. You know what? I don't care. Let them write them. We're already, the world is already technically being run by America. And I'm not smart enough to explain it to everybody, but technically we're already a one world order. I'll tell you right now, I promise you this is the truth. We are already a cashless society. If everybody went to get their money out of the bank tomorrow, they would close up faster than they did in the movie It's a Wonderful Life, because there ain't a fraction of that money that exists. It's a cashless society. However, they still allow us to use cash. Aren't they nice? Our government is so good to us. They're still like allowing us to use cash sometimes. However, they are restricting that. Go try to buy something for $10,000 cash. See what happens to you. I went to buy my car last year.
I haven't had that problem.
Brother Joe, how about, I bought a car and I was going to pay cash for it. I told the guy this was a car lot in Louisville, Kentucky. I told him I'm on my way and I'm bringing cash. He said, oh no, Mr. Goodwin, don't do that. We'll have to fill out paperwork. He said, you're kidding me. You mean it's just like going to the bank? Yeah, he said, it's just the same thing. If you come here with $10,000 in cash, you're a criminal. We gotta send information to the government about you, and they gotta investigate you, because there's no way you could possibly have that much cash in your pocket. I had to stop at a bank. I had to put some of that money in the bank, get a check, so that I wouldn't be thought of as a criminal. So they're already restricting us. I'm reading that not only, $10,000 is that rule that you automatically trigger a paper trail if you either deposit or take out $10,000 in cash. They've got to fill out some sort of paperwork for the feds, but I'm finding that people are telling me that it's less than that now. People are telling me that it's like $5,000 or less, and they're watching us. They want to know why you're handling cash and everything, and so we're already a cashless society. I buy and sell on eBay sometimes. I do a lot of guitars. It's in my blood. I can't stop. I buy and sell guitars, and I go to pawn shops and find stuff, and I sell guitars sometimes to comrades over there in Russia. I've sent guitars to Russia. You know what that guy in Russia does when he buys my guitar? He clicks a button on his computer, he goes to his PayPal account, and he clicks pay. He doesn't go to his bank and transfer his rubles to United States dollars. It's all done with the click of a button. What does that mean? That means we're already a global society. We're already a one world currency to some degree. It's already cashless, except that we're still allowed to use cash. Now, the day will come in the future, when the end comes, that day will come that, you know, it'll be a complete cashless society, except for the people bartering, trading a you know, somebody will trade a box of carrots for a box of potatoes, and they're not going to stop that. But we're already, this one world system is here. The only thing left in the way is God's people are still here, and God's timing isn't quite right yet. But any time now, that this thing's going to end, and the Lord's going to intercede, and the end times are going to begin, and then 7 years later, the kingdom age is coming, and Jesus is going to rule from Jerusalem, and that's going to be a great day. Oh, no, I was going to read this story to you. Here, let me.
Yeah, was this the article about the Antichrist system from 2 years ago you referenced last segment?
Yes. I just need 3 or 4 minutes. Is there a break coming?
No, we got 10 minutes till the break. You got plenty of time.
Listen, this I just shared this on Profs in the News with Dr. Clarkson. I did a couple TV shows. They haven't aired yet, so. And I also shared this with Larry Spargimino at Southwest Radio Church. I'm sure you know these guys. I couldn't believe it. Neither one of them had ever heard this story. I found this story by accident. I was looking for something about Shimon Peres, who died 93 years old. He was there for the founding of Israel. I mean, this guy's 93 years old. I read that 90 nations of the world, represented by, I think, 70 nations represented and 90 leaders of the world or something like that, gathered in Israel just a few days ago for the funeral of Shimon Peres. I was doing some research. I always heard that the end time would not come until Shimon Peres was gone. Kind of like Moses had to be taken out before the children of Israel crossed the Jordan to go to the promised land. I couldn't find the story, but I found something else. I found this story from 2 years ago. And let me just tell you, it's from the Jerusalem Post. And it was dated September 9th, 2014. It's a real story, Jerusalem Post. Here's the headline of this story, and it's shocking that even us prophecy guys never saw this story. Here's the title of the story, Peres, the Pope, and a Plan for World Peace. So I'm just going to read a couple of the highlights of it. Your listeners can Google this if they want. It's September 9th, 2014, Jerusalem Post. And it's also on my Facebook page if folks want to go there. I put it in my newsletter also, but let me just read a few of the highlights of it. This is really shocking. Shimon Peres, a patriarch of today's Israel, wants to leave a legacy. Peres's aim is world peace. By the way, Shimon Peres was probably not what you and I would look at as a conservative. I like Bibi much better, Netanyahu. I like where he stands much more than I like where Mr. Peres stood. Mr. Peres kind of tried to make peace. He wanted to give up land. He wanted to you know, the Oslo Accords and all that. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Here's what he tried to do in 2014. In his opinion, he said Pope Francis. Now that's the Pope we have now. Remember this: the Pope we have now became the Pope March 13th, 2013 at 8:13 p.m. Did you catch that? 3:13:13 at 8:13 p.m. This Pope became the new Pope, and that's in the Jubilee book. Just another one of those coincidences, if there is such a thing, and that's when he became the Pope. Anyway, he calls him, Pope Francis, a man he calls Holy Father, which is kind of unusual for a Jew to call a Pope Holy Father. And he said he's the one to make it happen, this world peace. He said this, on September 4th, 2014, Shimon Peres was granted an impressive 45-minute meeting with Catholicism's popular pontiff, a man who Shimon Peres asserts is more powerful than the United Nations for advocating peace. Now, isn't that a statement? He goes on, Peres develops his plans. He said this, perhaps for the first time in history, the Holy Father is a leader not only respected by many peoples, but also respected by different religions and their leaders. And he clarifies, listen to this, he is perhaps, talking about the Pope, he is perhaps the only truly respected leader in the world today. Wow. That's what Jerome Perez, a Jew, said about the pontiff, the Pope. Now listen to this. United Nations, here's what he said about the United Nations. The United Nations has had its day, Perez opined. What we need is an organization of united religions, a United Nations of religions. That's right out of the Bible. That's right out of the New Testament. He said this, there should be a charter of united religions, just as there is a UN charter. This is what I have proposed to the Pope. My goodness, that's so this guy, and I can't pronounce his name, is interviewing him here, and he said, would you see the Pope as the leader of this united religion? And Perez replied, yes, and not only because Francis is a globally respected leader, but because he is also the best choice, because the world needs an indisputable moral authority. Now let me read just two more statements here. These are the most. These are shocking. This is on page 3 here. If one of the Vatican's objectives, now this is not Perez speaking. This is the guy who wrote the article. This is interesting. This explains why you and I never saw this story, and Larry Spargiamino and Dr. Clarkson and most of the other prophecy experts out there never heard of this story, and this paragraph explains it. If one of the Vatican's objectives was to test worldwide reaction to this proposal, response to date indicates very mild interest. Outside Rome, Italy, mainstream media has barely even acknowledged this encounter happened. Those that have reported it treat it more as a human interest story than real news. That's why we never heard this story. Nobody paid any attention to it. Now, the last paragraph I'm going to read, listen to this. If Perez's proposal to the Pope gains traction, it will create a global religious union initiated by representatives of the world's three religions, the three monotheistic religions, a united religions organization that blends its expression from one-third Judaism, one-third Christianity, and one-third Islam. Now listen to this last statement. And apparently led from the seven hills of Rome. That's exactly how it's worded, right out of Revelation, the city of seven hills. Now, have either of you ever heard this story? Maybe you have.
I heard of it. I did not have that copy. No,
I have not.
But you are. This is of critical importance because we've maintained that the three monotheistic religions will be combined. Obviously, Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus, will no longer be allowed to be deified within this one world religious organization or system, and all three will be, essentially the three monotheistic religions will be outlawed in favor of a one world or one state nation religion, nation state religion. Yes.
And man. So here we are.
Exactly.
Now Jerome Perez is gone. The Pope is still here. The world is in worse shape than it's ever been. United Nations or no United Nations, the world is at war. There's worse things coming. We got Russia over there threatening to blow us up if we interfere. We got China. We got the wild guy down there in North Korea shooting off missiles and causing earthquakes underground. And I'm telling you, the world is ready for the end time.
Exactly, and you've. That one article, and again, that's from the Jerusalem Post, you said, correct? September 9th of this year. Okay.
September
9th. And it's on. Tell people what your Facebook page is. Is it Dan Goodwin or?
No, I have a Dan Goodwin one, but God's Final Jubilee is where I try to get people to go. That's where I post all this stuff. Just type in God's Final Jubilee and my Facebook page comes up. We got several thousand there. It's growing every day, but everything's God's Final Jubilee. My YouTube page, God's Final Jubilee. My website's godsfinaljubilee.com. Facebook, God's Final Jubilee. So I'm pretty serious about this Jubilee thing. I think it's the key to the whole prophetic outcome is this thing about the Jubilee.
And you've done so much work on this. And you made a comment, I think, or you had written something where in your Bible studies, in your formal education, you were never taught about the Jubilee, I think.
You got a good memory. You got a good memory. I went through Bible college. I have a bachelor's degree. And I'm not slamming where I went. I learned a lot. But, you know, I couldn't have spoke 2 minutes on the Jubilee. I knew nothing about the Jubilee. I didn't know there were seven feasts. I knew what Passover was. I understood some things about unleavened bread, some of the types there. But I couldn't have named four of the seven feasts. I knew about Feast of Tabernacles, but I didn't know anything about it. Pentecost, of course. I knew Pentecost because of Acts chapter 2. But other than that, I didn't know that Moses came down the mount with them 10 commandments on the day of Pentecost. I didn't know any of that stuff. And boy, has it opened up the Bible. Shame on people who tell us to stay away from the Old Testament. That's not for us. You'll never understand the New Testament till you get a grasp of that Old Testament. It opens up things that you never understood.
We must look at the Bible as a whole, I believe. There's nothing. You're exactly correct, and I thank you for saying that. Our guest is Daniel Goodwin, God's Final Jubilee. Just go ahead and search that, God's Final Jubilee. Well, that's his website, and from there, Facebook, and all of his YouTubes and such. That's our guest again, Daniel Goodwin, God's Final Jubilee, the book of the same name. Folks, we're going to be right back after this. You stay right where you're at. You're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report. What a fascinating guest. What a fascinating topic. Oh, can you think of anything more important than the current events as they relate to the end of days? I think not. Folks, stay right where you're at. I'll be right back.
With Dan Goodwin in this last segment of our Friday edition. He's the author of God's Final Jubilee and his latest book, The Barley Harvest. Folks, go to his website. You can go to godsfinaljubilee.com or heavenbound1.net, heavenbound1.net, and pick up Mr. Goodwin's latest book, The Barley Harvest, God Signed for the End Times. Mr. Goodwin, we got about 20 minutes in this segment, and we're going to have to let you go after that. We need the last 5 minutes to do some announcements and housekeeping here. So what do you want to get into as we approach this final segment?
Well, I've got something I was going to read for you concerning the Jubilee. And we haven't got very far. I can't believe where the time has gone. But maybe we can come back another time and hit some stuff on the barley. We didn't really get to talk about the barley harvest book at all, did we? But
No, not really. And yeah, we can definitely have you back on. But yeah, go ahead.
Well, we'll see what we got time for. But I thought it'd be nice to share this. I mean, a lot of folks don't even understand what a Jubilee is. A Jubilee is what I call a super Sabbath. There were three major Sabbaths. Of course, the 7-day Sabbath was for man to rest. The 7-year Sabbath was for their property, the land to rest and their servants and whatnot. But every 49 years was a super Sabbath we call the Jubilee. The Bible calls the Jubilee in Leviticus chapter 25. And on that, for a whole year, all the property goes back to the original owner. All the servants all the bond servants are set free. All debt is forgiven. It's kind of a reset button, a huge reset button. And the thing about the book, God's Final Jubilee, folks often ask, well, what do you mean by God's Final Jubilee? I believe the next Jubilee on the calendar is number 70. And I happen to think that's pretty significant. And I often ask people, how many think there's going to be 71? And nobody raises their hand. And I think there's going to be 70 Jubilees. And I think the next Jubilee on the calendar is number 70. I also tell folks, be careful about trying to figure this out, because I don't believe anybody knows when the Jubilee is. I believe it could be this year, could have been last, you know. We don't know. So, but whenever it is, the next Jubilee is number 70. From Moses, 1500 BC, to the 2000s, the year of the church age, is 70, 50-year period, 70 years. Remember, the entire 50th year is part of that Jubilee cycle. So you have to divide by 50, not 49. A lot of folks are confused about that. And if you start with Jesus, it's 40 Jubilees. Now, 40 is an interesting number in the Bible as well, just like 70 is. There was rain upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights in Genesis 7, Noah's flood. The children of Israel ate manna for 40 years. Moses was in the mount 40 days. Jesus fasted for 40 days. The 12 spies searched out the land for 40 days. Goliath marched out there for 40 days saying, "Send me a man." David, Saul, and Solomon all reigned for 40 years, and I could go on and on here. That number 40 is pretty interesting. It's a number of judgment, I think. So the next Jubilee is number 70 from Moses. It's also number 40 from Jesus, but it's also 120 from Adam. If you go all the way back to the beginning, Adam and Eve, the next Jubilee on the calendar, if you went from Genesis 1, is the, in a 6,000 year period, would be 120. That's pretty interesting. Have I still got you there?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, good.
We're doing the math. Can you smell the synapses firing?
Yeah. So, the next, isn't that interesting? All these numbers come together in one Jubilee. It'll never happen again. It'll never be like this again. All at the same time, the 70th Jubilee, the 40th from Jesus, and the 120th from Adam. What's the chances that there's going to be 121 Jubilees and 41 from Jesus and 71 from Moses? So I think this next Jubilee, whenever it is going to be the final Jubilee. And I think we're very close. Now, there is something I wanted to read for you, I'm just going to pick out a couple things here. There's a prophecy by a man, a rabbi, Judah ben Samuel. Have either of you ever heard that name, Judah ben Samuel?
No.
Okay, he's way back in, he died in the year 1217, so he's a little bit before Brother Doug's day. And 1217, this man died. And now I don't lean towards prophecies that are outside the Bible, so don't misunderstand me here. But this is an interesting thing here. My faith is in the Word of God. The Bible is where I place my faith. Somebody says, "Oh, you know, God told me this or that." You know, maybe God did, but you know, I'm not putting my faith in that. I'm putting my faith in the Bible. But this man, it said that he gave a rabbinic prophecy in 1217, right before he died. He prophesied that the Ottoman Turks would rule over the holy city of Jerusalem for 8 Jubilees. And I like the way he worded that. By the way, he was in Germany. He was a Jew in Germany, 1217. And
I did read about this yesterday, Mr. Goodwin, and this is very interesting. Folks, you should listen to this. This is important.
Okay, good. So you just read this. I think I put it on my Facebook page. I put it in my newsletter. I talked about it actually on Prophecy News and Southwest Radio Church in the interviews I just did. But 8 Jubilees, he said. Now, it's interesting to me that he used Jubilee for a time period. That tells me that way back then they understood a little better. I think we've lost some of that. I think a Jubilee is a generation. And I think what he was saying was, the Ottoman Turks would have Jerusalem for 8 generations or Jubilee. He called it Jubilees. Now, Jubilee is 50 years, so that's 400 years. So from 12, now, by the way, he didn't say when it would happen. He just said it would be 400 years. It just so happens 300 years later, right to the year, in the year 1517, the same year that they nailed the thesis, the 95 thesis, to the door of the church there, Martin Luther, same year the Ottoman Turks took Jerusalem. Just it started there, and of course for 400 years they held Jerusalem until 1917, when General Allenby, who I speak about in the Jubilee book, I give the whole story in there of how he took Jerusalem without firing a shot. It's a miracle. But it was 400 years that that happened. So they held Jerusalem for 400 years exactly as this man said in 1217. Now, that's interesting, but that doesn't mean that he's a prophet. But let's go a little further here. He also went on to say before he died, the same year, he said that not only would the Ottoman Turks have Jerusalem for 8 Jubilee cycles or 400 years, but he said that Jerusalem, after that, in that 9th Jubilee, would be a no man's land. Now, what did he mean by that? I don't know. But you know what? Jerusalem was a no man's land from 1917 till 1967 in the Six-Day War, when those Jews went in there and took Jerusalem on June 7th, 1967. So that came to pass exactly as this rabbi said. Now, that's the 9th Jubilee. Now, he gave one other thing. He said in the 10th Jubilee that Israel would control Jerusalem, and that at the end of that 10th Jubilee, Messiah would come. Now, that's 2017. Now, I'm not saying that this guy is a prophet. I'm not saying that this is going to come to pass just as he said. But all 9 of those Jubilee cycles happened exactly as this man said in 1217 that they would. And this next one is supposed to end next year, would be that timeline. So I think that's a story that folks ought to look at and read and put in the back of your mind here and realize everything is pointing to this thing being over soon. I mean, the world at war. I mean, America falling, the financial crisis of the world. There's not enough money. They couldn't print enough money to get us out of debt. I mean, your last guest talked about that. The whole world is falling apart. Sin. The world is in sin. This is Satan's kingdom, and it's all pointing to the fact that Jesus is coming soon, and the world is going to end, and the millennium is coming, the kingdom age, and this is just one more little thing here. This rabbi from 1217 A.D., according to his prophecy, 2017 is that 10th Jubilee from the time that he said this. So just a little tidbit there that I think is worth looking at. It's not the Bible. It's not something that I put my faith in. But it lines up perfectly with everything that we're saying here.
Very interesting indeed. Now, I stipulate to that, to the facts, the figures, the year, the time. The only thing I get a little nervous about, as you do, and you said this, you know, I mean, it's not carved in stone. You know, we could be off. I mean, the math could be off. How do I put this? Not the years, but the,
the calendar
time
could be messed.
There you go.
We don't
Thank
know
you.
If they yeah. messed with the calendar in 1520 or something.
That's right.
We
That's
don't
right.
know what year it is right now.
However, everything is lining up very much like you said. So, and I think we would be hard pressed if we would not be intellectually honest with each other if we were to say that things are not happening at a breakneck speed. Things are not happening fast. Things are. I mean, we can see the rapid nature of everything and things lining up very closely to the end of days. And even, well, yeah, so yeah, you're right. And it's very fascinating to study this, as far as I'm concerned. And especially your comments before, too, about the personage of the Antichrist and the beast system and the one world religion. All of this is just calibrating nicely. It's calibrated.
Yeah, and you know who's not going to fit in? We're not going to fit in. There is no way, you and I, Brother Doug and Brother Joe, there's no way we fit in this one world religion. We don't even fit in their moral code today. I mean, they want us to accept homosexuality. They want us to send our 14-year-old girls into the bathroom with some guy. They want us to accept that. Now most of America is accepting that, but I'm not. I will not submit to this. I will not. They'll have to come and get me and lock me up, but I will not submit to this.
Amen to that. And nor should we, of course. We cannot compromise our principles and our morality and our sacred religious beliefs.
And we've had several guests on in the past few weeks who have been talking about how the intensification of the decline of the morals here in this country is of itself a judgment from God, and, you know, proves and shows, you know, that America is in judgment. You know, at this very moment.
If we can ask you, Mr. Goodwin, is Hillary Clinton a judgment? Is the immorality, is that in and of itself a judgment?
Well, you know, there's a verse that talks about the last Trump. That's kind of funny, too. But, you know, the Bible says that the Lord puts in power whomsoever he will. And, you know, God sets up kings and puts them there. God put Nebuchadnezzar in power. God put Belteshazzar in power. And God put Ronald Reagan there. I think God looks at the temperature of the people and gives us what we deserve. And that's what scares me, because we didn't deserve a Ted Cruz. We didn't deserve a Ronald Reagan. And probably we deserve a Hillary Clinton right now, and I hate to say that, but you know what? The average Christian, and I talk about this in my book, the average Christian, when they walk near the abortion clinic, they go to the other side of the street and walk very quickly, because they don't want to hear the screams inside that building of those little babies being murdered, because to hear the screams would make me accountable to do something. And we don't want to do anything. We want to live our lives, and we want to make money. We want to be happy and play with our grandchildren. But we don't want to deal with the problems. We're $20 trillion in debt, over 100 and some trillion dollars in unfunded liabilities. I don't even know how they know that. It's probably worse than that. We have spent our grandchildren's future. We've spent it. Our selfishness and our complaining and our not caring and our not getting involved and letting things go and not calling Congress our congressmen and expressing our opinion. We've lived like we're not involved and like we're just pawns here. And you know, I think the day has come when God's going to deal with us. You know, Second Chronicles is very plain to me. Chapter 7, verse 14. Everybody preaches it and everybody talks about it, but I think very few people understand what it says. It starts out, if my people... Now, right away, you've got to realize, who is God talking to? He's talking to his people. I realize it's an Old Testament verse. He's in the context, he's talking to Israel. But you know what? That applies to us. We can apply that to us today. If my people, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Now listen to that. Turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That's what we need. What we need is God's people to get right with him and get on fire again and start worshiping him again and start doing what we're supposed to be doing down here, being salt and light. The salt of the earth has lost its savor. Wherewithal shall it be salted? That's us. If God's people are not influencing the world like salt is supposed to influence, then the world continues to get worse. We're the reason. God's people are the reason that America is like this. We don't want to admit that. Nobody wants to look in the mirror and say, I'm the problem here. We've caused this. And the wickedness of God's people.
So very true, Mr. Goodwin. We got about 5 minutes left before we're going to cut you loose and end the show. Do you want to go over the conference details one last time before we finish?
Yeah, It's Saturday, October 15th, Mankato, Minnesota, from 2 till 9. Just go to my website, godsfinaljubilee.com, and click on the conference there, and it'll take you to a page where you can sign up, register. It's free of charge. It costs nothing. We're going to feed you when you come. You're going to hear some great speakers, Dr. Clarkson from Prosody News, Billy Crone from Get a Life Ministries in Nevada, and yours truly, me. We're each going to speak twice, and we'd love for folks to come. We're working on filming this thing. We think we're going to be able to do a live YouTube presentation of this thing. I can't promise anybody we're working on it, but I think we may be able to get it going. But if folks can come out, it'd be great. We'd love to see folks and love to have them. Maybe we can come back another time, talk about this barley harvest book, because I'm telling you, there's some pieces of the puzzle in that barley harvest book. You're starting to hear people talk about barley on the internet, and I'm not saying that they got it from me, but I'm excited to see that people are starting to talk about some of these things that I've got in the book. The barley is a type of Israel. God is looking at the barley. When the barley is ripe, or a bib, then God will reset the clock and the end times will begin. And because in Bible days, that's how they determine Passover month. They don't do it right today. It's not supposed to be done mathematically with a calculator. It's supposed to be done in accordance to the harvest, the barley harvest. On the Feast of First Fruits, 3 days after Passover, they're supposed to wave a sheaf of barley. If the barley harvest is not ready, there's no barley to wave. So that's how they reset the calendar. They reset the calendar by looking at the barley. If the barley is ripe, then that becomes Passover month. It becomes the month of Bib. If the barley's not ripe, they would add a 13th month we call Adar 2. See, it's supposed to be done according to the harvest and not according to some mathematical computation that somebody does today. So that's just a little taste of the book. There's some really, really deep things in it. You folks can go to the website and look at the back cover and read about it and maybe read the reviews or whatever.
We'll have you back to talk about that. That's and folks, we have a copy of the Barley Harvest here, and go to his website, our guest website, the Barley Harvest. It's a good read, and indeed, let's have you back, and we'll talk about it. In the meantime, have a great conference. That's a week from tomorrow, right? A week from tomorrow.
It is,
and
yep.
Folks, in Minnesota there. There's no reason why.
It's free.
It's free, yeah.
You just have to pay for your hotel if you want to stay overnight, and
And we're going to be doing some more of these, and Brother Doug and Brother Joe, we're going to be talking to you about getting involved in our next one, so we'll keep you up to date on that.
All right, brother. Well, again, thank you so much for your gift of time tonight. We do have to take care of some issues here before we sign off for the weekend, but God bless you. Thank you for your gift of time.
Yep, Joe and Doug, thank you so much for having me on and allowing me to rant and rave and yell. I always love coming on with you guys. Love talking to you. You're my kind of guys. I love your show. I enjoyed Brother Paul yesterday. I listened to him. And good guy. Just smart guy. But thanks for all that you guys are doing and holding up the torch and helping get the word out there. Thank you so much.
God bless you, sir. Thank you. And do come back again. Very good. All right. That was our guest, Mr. Dan Goodwin. Joe, his website.
Heavenbound1.net or godsfinaljubilee.com.
After the book, God's Final Jubilee. That's a great book, too. The information that he's got in that book is just fabulous. Folks, the reason we needed to take a couple of minutes here before we sign off for the weekend, a couple of announcements to make as well, in addition to some technical things that we're going through.
We got some a bunch of new guests coming up.
Yes.
And we want to kind of go over this. Dave Hodges actually mentioned one of the guests that is coming on next week, who is the economist, Joseph Meyer.
Yes.
But Monday, we are going to have Steve Quayle on.
Yeah, stop right there. Let me just explain this real quick, okay? Folks, I spoke with Steve Quayle at length today. Now, he was on Alex Jones today. I don't know whether you caught him. If you did, great. But I spoke with Steve, and we had a very sobering, lengthy, intense conversation. We had something planned for Monday that plan changed. And by the time the conversation was over, he said, I would really like to come on just myself and just have a conversation with the listeners. It kind of stunned me. The context of that stunned me a little bit. I really would urge everyone to tune in to Monday. Monday is going to be an extremely important show. It's going to be with Steve Quayle only. We're going to have a conversation. It's going to be directed at each and every one of you. We're going to have a conversation with you. The information that he's got is critical, I believe. So, Joe, that's what I really wanted to say about that.
Yeah, so Monday, please. Steve Quayle's going to be coming on. Wednesday, Debbie Bassigliappi, she is the Agenda 2030 expert, if you will. She's going to come and talk about the Agenda 2030, the United Nations global initiative that encompasses Agenda 21 and an economic agenda as well. And then Thursday, Joseph Meyer, the economist. Now back to Tuesday. Stan Dale's not going to be with us this week. Last week he said he needed this next Tuesday off. We have Stephen Menking coming on in hour number two, and Alex Wilson coming on in hour number three.
Hour number three is going to be
really important. We have David Thomas, Carl Gallups, we have Avi Lipkin coming up, and just some great guests. I want to thank John Robertson and Greg Jackson for lining up some of these people. And you know, aside from Ted Brewer Friday and Steve Quayle on Monday, we got 1, 2, 3, 4 brand new guests that we're going to have next week. So it's going to be a very interesting week.
Indeed. A lot of things happening on this end. We are fighting the censorship. We are fighting the ankle biters? When I say ankle biters, we're fighting the harassment. Understand that the people such as Steve Quayle, Dave Hodges, us, Rick Wiles, when he's not fighting hurricanes, he's fighting a very interesting fight. We're seeing things take place that have not taken place before. Folks, just we pray for each and every one of you, because I do sense that things are going to be changing very quickly and very darkly. I don't want to say any more than that, except to say that when you hit your knees tonight, please pray for one another. Please pray for the... just pray. Just pray.
Pray, and Paul McGuire hit on that yesterday, how we need to become more disciplined in our prayer life and how we look at it as an inconvenience instead of something that is helpful for us. And I think that was... very important what he talked about. But in the closing minutes of the show tonight, one thing we didn't talk about, well, we were talking about Russia, and we were talking about what was happening in Syria, and Dave mentioned the Russian embassy putting out a Twitter or a tweet today, kind of calling out the White House and the intelligence communities, and you know, saying that we're funding terrorism. But I don't know how many people saw this. John Kerry called for war crimes investigation of Russia pertaining to Syria.
Yeah.
And, you know, then Steve, you have the, you had this this morning, and then this afternoon, the United States intelligence community came out and said that Russia was to blame for the DNC and other leaked email hacks. And they confirmed it, quote unquote, in their own words. Which was very interesting. There's a lot of posturing going on. And then there's speculation, too, that I see that Russia's moving nuclear warheads here or there, and I don't put much stock into that.
No, but what we're seeing is typical of, I don't know how many people saw Brendan Leach at Hillary Clinton's, one of her appearances. Brendan Leach, the 15-year-old daughter of a state senator, Dylan Leach, got up, asked Hillary Clinton a question. This was a scripted question. Come to find out, it was all just a dog and pony show by an actor.
That happened twice now.
Right. That's not news, because that's happened before. But what is news, or what should be looked at, is the template which they are following. The world stage is, this is a microcosm of the world stage. What you're seeing is all scripted. that makes sense on that. That's
absolutely scripted. And they have a leak of a Trump audio from 11 years ago, and it's interesting to see all these people, you know, freaking out. What he said wasn't nice at all, but at the same time, you know, weighing, as some are putting it, locker room talk to Hillary Clinton's actions, even in defending Bill Clinton and destroying the women who accused him of rape and other sexual harassment allegations, I'd say is a lot worse than what he said. But there's no doubt in my mind that we're going to see him on the defense of this in this debate that's coming up on Sunday night. And I think it's behind a football game. I'm not sure what time it starts, but there is a debate this Sunday. Anderson Cooper and another woman from ABC will be moderating it. And it should be interesting to watch. And I think that the Trump leak was timed to go with more of the WikiLeaks dumps and email
dumps
that we see today. There's the John Podesta files. WikiLeaks has released them, and they're very interesting.
We've downloaded all of the available onto a hard drive.
Hillary Clinton dreams of open borders and free trade in the Western Hemisphere is one of the emails.
Folks, please pray for your police officers. Watch this weekend. Very dangerous time this weekend. Please pray for the first responders, the police officers. Keep them in your prayers. Officer Sean, we're praying for you. Watch for the civil riots. Pray. Pray.
Until Monday, stay safe, God bless, and keep an eye on our website, HagmanReport.com. for updated news and information throughout the weekend. Until Monday, have a great evening.